When Kate contacted me a short while ago, she said that the theme for today was growth, growth, and more growth. A very good theme, really. It's the first one of a series from the Book of Colossians. And I'm privileged to do this first one, and Kate will be doing a few more leading up to Easter. One verse immediately sprung to mind is one that we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Remember when the boy Jesus was in the temple and his parents had gone back to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem rather, and they couldn't find him. And actually a whole day went without. Imagine losing a child for a whole day. And they eventually found him, of course, back in the temple in Jerusalem. And as Margaret said about the boys' brigade, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. So maybe this gives us a little clue about what growth might mean. Growth isn't just about getting bigger, as Margaret said. And growth within a church isn't just about growing in the number of people. It's not all about bums on seats. Growth is a lot more than that. Although, of course, it's good to get people. It's good to see so many of you here this morning, being the first Sunday of the half term. It's very encouraging to see you. But there are more important things than just numbers. The Bible reading today is not from Luke's Gospel, of course. It's from the first verses, the first chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, which was a town in the area which we now know as Turkey, of course. And it's clear from what Paul writes in the whole of this letter, and I would encourage you to read the letter. It's only three or four chapters, not many pages at all. It wouldn't take many minutes to read. But do read when you get home or sometime during the week this book, this letter of Paul to the Colossians. Because it seems that Paul never actually visited Colossae. He'd never been there himself. But he knew all about the church from his fellow worker Epaphras, who'd been there before him, who was a minister there. And it's quite possible, I think, that Epaphras actually founded the church in Colossae. So let's hear what Paul wrote. If you've got your pew Bibles, it's on page 1182, or you can see it on the, I always want to say overhead, on the screen, which overhead's a bit old-fashioned now, isn't it? On the screen there. So we've got it up there, which is from the first book of Colossians. Look out for the references to growth in this passage. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God for his word. After greeting the Colossians in his typical fashion, Paul does something very wise. He compliments them. Later on in the chapter, there are some verses sort of alluding to problems within the church, and no doubt in the weeks to come, Kate will be going through some of those things. Hints of problems within the church at Colossae, which Paul addresses, and no doubt these things are very important. These things need addressing today as they did then. And first of all, Paul says to the people there, the Christians there, he says how thankful he is for them. Secondly, he tells them that they are constantly in his prayers. And thirdly, he encourages them by complimenting them on their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for their love for all the saints. That means their love for all Christians everywhere. Lovely things, prayer and encouragement. 5:30 this morning, I was awake. I had a good night's sleep, and I thought, do I get up now at 5:30, or what shall I do? The temptation is, when it's cold outside, is to stay in bed a bit longer, isn't it? But no, I decided I would pray. And I prayed for all you people here this morning in the church. I didn't know who would be here, but I thought it would be good to pray. I prayed for Kate, and I prayed for the church. I prayed for growth, which is what we're thinking about this morning. And it was just lovely to have a nice quiet time with God in prayer before, you know, all the activities of the day begin. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for people that I've known in Cottenham. Some of you know we were here for 33 years, I think it was, altogether, in the Methodist Church and here. But for people, for the saints who've helped me in my journey over the years. And I do thank God for that. So that was in part of my prayer this morning. Do we all do that? Do we actually compliment people before we start, suggesting other things to them? I know it's good to compliment. It's good to be like that to people before we give advice. People sometimes won't accept advice unless you say something good before it. You know, social workers, communications, Paul knows about social workers now, of course. Communications, it's important to compliment before we get into a discussion or advise people. That's true of social workers, teachers, professions, doctors, nurses, and so on. And it's a good idea for communication in our everyday lives. Think of something you can compliment somebody for. Trouble is that sometimes it's, if it's not done well, compliments can make people suspicious. You know, why are you saying that? What are you on? What do you want? What's in it for you? You know, that sort of thing. I joined a social club in Haddenham, a sports and social club. I've always liked sport, and I thought I'd keep up a bit of table tennis. And the other night, Friday night's practice night, and Friday night I was playing table tennis and talking to a guy there who was actually older than me. And he said, Paul, he says, your backhand's brilliant, but I think you need to be a bit more aggressive and a bit more attacking. You see, he came in with a compliment first, a backhand. And he's right, actually. The backhand's not too bad. Some of you know what my backhand's like. But he went on to compliment and went on to advise And I took his advice. That's the thing, isn't it? And Paul here is talking to these young Christians. Are they going to take his advice? We'll find out over the next few weeks, no doubt. Encouragement and advice should go hand in hand. What about the references in this chapter to growth? Did you look out for those things about growth and growing when you were reading on there? What did it say about it? And after encouraging them in their faith for Christ and their love for others, Paul went on to mention the evident spiritual fruit. Fruit is something that grows. And in the letter of Paul to the Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, oh dear, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I'm thinking as I read those to you, how many of those do I fail in? How many times do I lose my patience? But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what we should be doing. This is how we should be as Christians. This is the fruit we should all of us be growing in our daily lives. It reminds me too of John chapter 15 when Jesus spoke about the vine and the branches. And as long as we stay attached to the vine, to Jesus, the fruit will grow. And the good fruit that grows in our lives, this joy and peace and so on, and patience and kindness, all of those things, these are the things that are pleasing to God. And what are we here for? Surely we're here to please God. That must be the aim of the Christian. And Paul goes on, he says to the Colossians that he and Timothy are praying that the Colossians, in verse 9, it says that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Again, about growth and becoming mature in the Christian faith. It's no good being a Christian unless we do grow and we do mature. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Become mature in the Christian faith. Paul wants them to be filled more and more with knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding, so that they can in fact live a life pleasing to God. That's what I'd like for me, that's what I'd like for you, that we grow in that way more and more. But we don't just grow in knowledge for the sake of it, for the sake of knowledge's sake. I've met Christians, and no doubt you have, people who have studied the Bible diligently, who know it inside out. They've been to college. They know the theology. They're zealous about acquiring knowledge about God, but have very little spiritual truth that you would call good. They lack grace. They lack love. They lack compassion for other people. These are the things that the fruit of the Spirit should be showing. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, knowing it all, is not intended to help to make us proud or to win arguments with non-Christians or anything like that. They are intended to make us holy, more like Jesus, better able to serve God. And this knowledge, this wisdom, of course, comes through reading your Bible, listening in prayer. Maybe at a time when something you've sung this morning, one of the songs. Listening to other people giving you advice. God uses so many different ways to communicate with us, and he does communicate with us. That's why the readings, the sermons, the prayer, the songs are so important in Sunday worship. Read our Bibles regularly. Pray during the week. Attend Bible study. Wherever possible. Come to the Alpha Course. That's something I was reading about. So good to see that there's so many things happening in Cottenham Baptist. I'm really encouraged, and you should be. I want to encourage you, because I read in here this morning about some of the things that are happening here, and it's wonderful. It really is. You know, and thank God that there are things happening. And growth. Growth. More growth. It's going to happen. And it is happening. And I'm really pleased about that. We need these disciplines because they increase our knowledge of God. And if that knowledge of God is applied correctly to our lives, it will translate into a holy life, a life which will in turn be pleasing to God. I wonder what you would say was the purpose of being a Christian. What's the purpose of being a Christian? You may have heard of the Protestant Reformation. We're all actually Protestants. But following the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther and John Calvin, among many others, reduced the Christian purpose down to one thing. Why be a Christian? Glorifying God. Glorifying God. That's what we're here for, to glorify God. That's why we sing these hymns. That's why we come and worship together, because we want to glorify God as a church, as a community, as an individual. When we're out there, outside the church walls, in society, as Christians, glorify God in whatever we say, whatever we think or do. Glorifying God is the purpose of a Christian. Paul takes up the theme in the verse 10 in this passage. He says about pleasing God in all respects. And many of us, and I include myself, find the task of pleasing God quite overwhelming sometimes. How on earth can I please God? It's not an easy thing, but that's what we're here to do. And if we do that, then we can see growth, spiritual growth, important thing. I'm also comforted by verse 11 where it says, we can do this, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might. The power that comes from God to us. We can do it through his power, his strength, his might, his spirit. In plain English, I like plain English because I come from Yorkshire. And I might say, sithee here, kid, this is how they should do it. Sithee. Please God. Your goal in life, kid, should be to please God. And the good news is that God provides us with that ability to please him. He provides us with it. We've got no excuse. And the more we allow our lives to be directed and used by God, the more he actually uses us. So if we're thinking about growth, growth, and more growth, he's going to use us more and more. He will equip us for service if we allow our lives to be directed and used by him. And what should also excite us is to hear that pleasing God and experience joy also go in hand. When we do things that are pleasing to God, we're happy. He's happy. We're happy. Everybody's happy. That's how it works. So Paul tells the Colossians to be filled with knowledge. And after telling them to bear spiritual fruit, after telling them to please God, Paul says that they are the ones who will ultimately benefit. That's what it says in that passage. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. You will be the ones who will ultimately benefit. They will attain endurance and patience and will joyfully give thanks to the Heavenly Father. In verse 12 it says, who has qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints. And that's something to be really joyful about. If we are to be effective as individuals, as a church here in Cottenham, if we want to be effective in pleasing God, our Heavenly Father, it only makes sense to find out or to learn, discover all we can about what God loves and about what he dislikes. Christians are called to do many things, but without a proper understanding of who God is, we may go astray. God wants us to know him. He wants everyone here to know him. God wants us to love him. Everyone here to love him. Not simply in our heart and our soul, but also with our mind. If we do these things, I am convinced, utterly convinced, that God will provide you with all that is necessary for growth, growth, and more growth in this church and beyond into the community, because it's important that we reach into the community, not just be insular. God will do all that if we'll only allow him to use us in that way. Do read those, you know, that chapter again, and if you have time, read the other, four chapters altogether. Read the other three chapters as well during the week, and that will be preparing you for the next few weeks when Kate will be going through those later chapters, and I'm sure that will be of benefit to all of you too. Prayer is so important. It's not just about bringing our preconceived ideas and requests to God, but it's also about listening. Listening is important. We don't do it often enough, do we? Listening for what God is saying to us. What does he want to say to us? How is he getting through to us? Are we giving him time? Are we giving him space? Maybe sometimes we miss God's still small voice in all the hubbub of life, all the busyness